I think that does lead nicely into our questions, though. Obviously, all of our candidates have a lot more to say, and our media panel is going to hopefully get the best out of them. So thank you very much to the three of you for joining us today. We've got Brittany Gervais from Terra Standard, Jeff Blagden from CFNR, and Mark DeCash from Bell Media. Three of them were busy at work at Boston Pizza with the help of the Boston Pizza patrons figuring out good questions tonight. So hopefully we've got a good one. They're going to be directing their questions to a specific candidate. And if at any time another candidate wishes to respond, just hold up your pink card. You have three cards that they can use. And once I've acknowledged it, then you can just drop it. And then when the first person's done, then you'll get 30 seconds to rebut. All right? So, with that, Brittany, do you want to lead us off? I told him I was going to surprise him with who I was going to pick, so.
Surprise. this question is for Councilor Lynn Christensen. We've heard from a lot of people who are saying that curbside recycling restrictions are too confusing. Are you prepared to find people who don't figure it out? Yes, those who have contaminated materials in curbside recycling.
I hope not, because that might be me. I think since our last election, we've made such advances with recycling. I mean, we've really made progress, and it was what people were asking for, but it's not without its problems, and it gets a little bit complicated. At least I find it that way, and I think a lot of people find it that way. So I don't know if it will come to that, but I think that there. We have had a process of trying to educate people and trying to, you know, just trying to work it out as best we can. I feel, for myself, I'm one of those people that sometimes having a hard time sorting out what goes where. But I find that despite that and despite those mistakes, we've made great advances. We look where we are from where we were, say two terms ago when we had really nothing for recycling.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you very much. Next question, Merrick.
Thank you. Martin, do you believe Terrace has been adequately consulted about LNG prior to the final investment decision?
That is something I don't know, because I do not know if a company, a corporation or a consortium that large would actually, they probably advised Terrace, but I don't know if they consulted Terrace.
Jeff?
Thank you. We're sticking with LNG here. This question will be for Councilor Brian Downey. With regards to renters in the LNG boom, what kinds of protections are needed to ensure the Terrace residents who are already struggling to pay rent and to afford to live here aren't forced to leave?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure I quite got all, got all that, but I gather you're talking about renting?
Yeah, in general, the cost of living here.
So, two things that are distinctly different about the LNG Canada project. First of all, LNG Canada is well aware of the impacts of the size of their development would have on communities. And so that's why an explicit strategy of theirs is to not have living out allowances. They intend that their people will be staying in camp. So that's the first effect. Secondly is that the effect on terrorists, I think we saw some of that from subcontractors living in terrorists, and we are going to have to respond to that. But new housing units coming on certainly will help.
Thank you. Back to you, Brittany.
This question is for Evan Ramsey. A lot of candidates have expressed safety downtown as one of their concerns and reasons for running for council. Downtown surveillance has been discussed in council before, but do you support downtown video surveillance? Is that a measure that you would support?
Thank you, Brittany. I was actually participating in council when they first talked about video cameras, and it has to do with mostly Brawley Square, or at least other public spaces. Brawley Square is a private property, so it's up to the owner. But when it comes to public spaces, I believe it was the Minister of Justice, they were not in favor due to intrusion of privacy. So it was it would be a challenge to set up cameras in regards to surveillance downtown. Now I understand why they would put them up, and that was to deter, not just deter crime, but to capture criminals fleeing from an incident. And that was actually due to the RCMP. They were unable to prosecute a suspect due to a crime that was committed up the street, and they suspected that they traveled through a public space. So that is something that's still very important. I'm open to direction both from the RCMP and the committee. Thank you.
Hey, Merrick.
Councillor Cordero, what additional bylaws should council consider in regards to the legalization of recreational cannabis?
Thanks, Mayor. I don't think we necessarily need to propose.
James, can you move that a little closer to your...
I don't know if we necessarily need to impose new bylaws. I think we have a series of bylaws in place regarding using tobacco or any other form of smoke or vapor in public places, such as
Georgetown Park. I think we need to concentrate on enforcing those. We do have a whole list of bylaws that we should be enforcing, especially in the downtown, and that's why I think we need to be looking at hiring more bylaw officers to be in our downtown, because they are able to be directed specifically by the city's administration to hotspots and where they need to be, which is something that we don't necessarily have with the RCMP. And when they do find a criminal code violation, they can contact the RCMP. So I think we just need to be enforcing the bylaws that we have on the books.
Thank you. Just candidates, as you answer the questions, I just ask that you make sure the microphone's close to your mouth. It's a little difficult to hear in the crowd, so. Jeff?
This question is for Jessica Miller. What is the best way to deal with the growing problem with drug paraphernalia and needles being found in the community?
I've had a number of people approach me on that topic. Drug use is something that affects just about every community, both nationally and globally. One of the biggest things that we do need to focus on in our community is, I think, social funding and basically servicing the needs of people who suffer from drug addiction or are battling with it. We do need a detox center, and we have needed one for quite some time. And we could also increase safe needle disposal in our community as well. Thank you.
Brittany?
You got a rebuttal to that.
Oh, we got a rebuttal. I'm sorry, I missed it. James?
Hi. Not so much a rebuttal, but just an add-on. When this problem was really getting some notoriety on Facebook, council created a safe needle disposal task force to look at finding some solutions that we could implement immediately. And one of those is developing what's referred to as a clean team, which would be a group of peers organized by Northern Health and their intensive case management group. And the idea is that people who are peer groups of users will be going throughout town cleaning up. And that's going to help provide them with some meaningful employment and boost their self-confidence. And I think it's a really great initiative, and it's been done in Quesnel if anybody's interested in doing some research on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Brittany.
Okay, this question is for David Tribe. On the same kind of topic. So addiction is a big problem here and throughout the Northwest. People rely on Terrace as a hub for their medical needs. Now, do we have a responsibility to the region and our own residents to have an addictions treatment facility here in Terrace?
I think addictions is primarily a health issue, not a legislative one. And I think that the facilities that are available in Terrace in terms of a detox and or a treatment are limited at best. Sending somebody to the detox in Prince George is not a successful operation. So I think we do need more facilities here, yeah.
And Evan has a rebuttal card there. He's thrown it down with
that flutter. Thank you, David. I agree with you as well as many of the other counselors. It's not just legislative, but we lobbied for a hospital, and we can do the same for a detox and rehab facility. We do have detox services in Terrace. Many people don't know about it. The homeless do know about the services, but they don't have a rehab and the ability to rehabilitate into the community. They fall back into their original peer groups once they leave the facility. So a facility that allows us to break and introduce new positive peer groups is one of the best ways to achieve a quality life and meaningful employment. Thank you.
Sean, would you like to also add to that?
Just on to that. Council has lobbied for a detox center in the Northwest the entire time I've been on council. This is a very important thing. It is needed. The city cannot pay for a detox center to be had. I think at this, we have not had success, and at this point, council needs to take a look back, and I think we need to start partnering with our regional areas. If it's the Kitsamkalen, the Nishka, Kitimat, Prince Rupert, the Haisla, we need to all come together and lobby the government together to get this detox facility in the Northwest. Which community it is, it doesn't matter, but we need one closer than Prince George.
Thank you.
Thank you. This one's for Sean. For you to sign off on a resource benefits agreement with the province, what benefits would you specifically need to see on there for the city of Terrace?
Money. We when you look at the Peace River agreement and you see a place like Dawson Creek getting $17 million a year from the province and their agreement. Our budget is $21 million in this city, the same size as us, gets $17 million. It's a wonder why our taxes are so high. Our resources are being stripped from us, taken away from us, and being spent in the south of the province, and that money needs to stay here.
Jeff. Round two.
This question is for Lynn Christensen. What can be done to make living in the downtown core more appealing?
Well, I think there's many different aspects of that we look at, and there's so many different groups of people that have to be considered in it. It's a real balancing act. I think that in a lot of ways, we need to come down harder on the negative stuff that is downtown. But at the same time, we are a compassionate community. This community offers so much for people. We don't have the real fix-it solution, but we are caring and we are there for people, and there is a lot offered for people that are in difficult situations on the street, and a lot more that needs to be done. But we have to think of the businesses as well. We have small-time businesses that work really hard to make their businesses work and want to make a good downtown for us. And they put up with a lot of stuff that they just should not have to put up with. And we need to be looking out for those businesses. We also want a healthy, vibrant community that people feel comfortable in downtown. So you can see it's quite a balancing act to think of all the people in this picture. But I think we are looking at it from very many different angles and trying to improve our downtown.
Thank you. Brittany.
This question is for Martin. What do you think can be done to bring more business to the downtown area?
Thank you for the question. I think one of the things what the city could do is improve some of the things, specifically like make it easier for businesses to open up, and also in some cases have less restrictions on some businesses. I heard from some owners where they had some not so positive experiences with some of the things where they tried to improve their businesses, and it made it difficult for them.
Thank you. Merrick?
My question is for Brian Downey. There used to be a direct phone number for residents to leave messages or questions that were then vetted and addressed as required. A Terrace resident is hoping there is a possibility of resurrecting this phone line. Our question to you is, what can be done to improve communication with city staff?
So currently, there's an approach that the city is active with, first of all, our Facebook and responding to emails. Our CAO is approachable, and staff are in their responsibilities are approachable. I think the change we've seen in the last 6 months has been, we've got a communications officer now who's providing more city information out to enable discussions with the city. So questions can be raised as a result of that. But ultimately, we want to be as transparent and as open as possible.
Thank you, Brian.
Jeff. Thank you. This question is for Evan Ramsey. What would the benefit be to Terrace if Thornhill does choose to join our municipality?
Thank you, Jeff. Derek Trimmer of the Victoria Consulting Group actually came up to Terrace in regards to incorporation or amalgamation. And it's not that that Thornhill needs to seek to escape its governance. And it's actually doing quite well and happy on its own, as far as I'm aware. There's two district board members here. But Thornhill actually offers a unique ability to offer low-cost housing without a grand initiative by essentially being outside of the city's tax area. And that is a lower barrier for a lot of lower for people with different incomes, and it's an enabler. Regards to LNG, I think, you know, in the future we could see Thornhill seek amalgamation or self-incorporation on its own terms. It's something that Thornhill residents should take up. So, all right, thank you.
Thank you. Brittany, you look like you're all ready to go there.
Of course. This question is for Councillor James Cordero. We've heard from cyclists in the community that the current bike path network is unsafe and confusing in some areas. Do you think a better network should be a priority for the city?
Thanks for your question. You know, I was just thinking about this last night when I was putting up my election signs and really paying attention to where we do have bike lanes and where we don't. And there definitely are gaps, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of our roads just were not designed with cyclists in mind. But if you take a look at the number of bike lanes we have today as opposed to the number that we had 4 years ago, they're increasing. And there's absolutely a priority with the city and development services for walkability and for cycling. We're certainly still not there yet, and I think there's a lot more we can do. You know, my son goes from Mountain Vista and he'll cycle into town. down to Chill, which is his favorite place to cycle to. And fortunately, there's the Millennium Trail, the Grand Trunk Path. But would I feel safe with him riding his bike to my store to come to work? Honestly, probably not yet, but I think we can get there by making some good investments and doing some good planning.
Sure.
Thank you. This one's for Jessica. What would you like to see done with the co-op lot?
I know that there used to be a gas station there, correct? So there should be toxicity testing if there hasn't already been. I know that there's also a proposed pub, if I'm correct. That land could be utilized for so many different things, honestly. We were just talking about a detox center, and that's somewhat in the core of the downtown center. And like Councillor Buitash was saying, if we work on those partnerships with various other forms of government in the Northwest, it's quite possible that we could have a detox center there someday.
Thank you. Jeff.
This question is for David Tribe. With LNG moving forward, there will be increased demand in Terrace as a service center for emergency service staff. What can Terrace do to improve staffing levels now and in the future?
I think Terrace needs to approach LNG and make sure that both the LNG and the province to make sure that our population that we're serving is adequately reflected in the funding models that provide emergency services.
Thank you. And you got to lead us off and close us off. So Brittany, last question.
And everyone's favorite topic. This question is for Councilor Sean Buitash. Regarding the Aquatic Center renovations, do you feel the public has been adequately informed on the delays in a timely manner, and what would you have done differently?
Yeah, this has been a difficult issue. It's a real unfortunate event. I think maybe we could have been a little bit better communicating, but there was some information that was not all there at the time to get it out. So, and just the legalities of it all too. It's just not an easy thing to get out to the public right away. But I think staff, for the most part, got it out. At the end of the day, it's been really unfortunate. But as the mayor said, it looks fantastic inside, and we look forward to opening up that pool. I was in Kitimat on the weekend. I took George for a swim there for his first swim in a big pool, and I can't wait to just be able to go down the road and take him for a swim.
All right. Thank you very much. So that wraps up round two of our event. So just before we go to the fun part, which is going to be, speed dating kind of, So we get 10 seconds to answer the questions. I just want to plant the seed that after this, we're going to be turning it over to you to ask questions in the crowd or to send questions into Facebook or online. And so you might want to already be starting to think about what questions you have for the candidates here. But while you're thinking on that, our media panel is going to lead us through the 10-second question. So what's going to happen here? They're going to ask one question. Each candidate is going to have up to 10 seconds to answer it. Then next question and next question. So we'll do a total of three questions. One question for each of the media people. Then we'll go to the crowd. So who wants to kick us off? Mayor, you need a guy?
Yeah. All right. So how this is going to work is I pulled Councillor Cordero. So if everyone's going to get a chance to answer this question. But we're going to go Councillor Cordero this way, and then once we get to Sean, then we'll go to Lynn, and then end at Evan. All right, I don't know what this says, so.
Neither do I.
All right, so 10 seconds. If you had to convince someone to move to Terrace, why?
I would convince people to move to Terrace because it's a very livable town. And we've got a lot to offer, and we have a great work-life balance here that you're not going to find.
Right. Thank you, James.
Living here is absolutely fantastic. You can ski, bike, canoe, do anything. It's an artist's dream as well.
Thank you, Jessica.
Affordable housing in the Great Skeel.
Thanks, David.
I just sent a picture of how beautiful this place is and just talk about the recreation and the outdoors. Fantastic place to live.
Lynn?
The outdoors, the community spirit, the people, the clean air, the kayaking, the... Sorry, do you want to start again?
Go ahead.
Start over? Okay. The outdoors, the community spirit, the people, the fresh air, the hiking, the kayaking, the gardening climate, yeah.
It's just fun to hear a bunch of good things in our community, so an extra 10 seconds.
I would say community spirit and the beautiful outdoors.
I'd say affordability, our community spirit, for sure, our volunteers, and the opportunity to live here.
Same reason I moved here. Opportunity, affordability, quality of life, and I stayed for the people.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, next one. We're going to start this one off, starting with David Tribe. And what is your favorite place to eat in Terrace? Go.
Tim Hortons. That's my wife's favorite place, so we eat there often.
Home.
The deli across from the library had Spumoni ice cream this summer.
My girlfriend's place, who lives in Terrace.
I think we'll go back to the restaurants at Don Diego's, of course.
McNorm's Bistro is 3 minutes away from me, and downtown was all minimal. It's a shameless plug.
I have to declare a conflict of interest.
Sorry, James, I like to eat at Ninja. The food's amazing, the service is impeccable, and the atmosphere is great.
And the last speed question.
We're going to start at Lynn Christensen for this one, and the question, favorite way to relax in Terrace?
Being in the outdoors, hiking, kayaking, just getting out in our beautiful outdoors is the best way for me to relax, I think.
Being outdoors and enjoying the beauty.
Being a volunteer and contributing to the city.
Outdoors as well, I'd like to take my children to Waxhaw Creek Trail and similar trails as well.
About a year ago we got a rescue dog, it's the first dog I've ever had, and I would say spending time with our dog, with my son, going to Grouchy's Beach and making sure my wife keeps him on a leash.
I just like going for walks in general this time of year, especially fall is the perfect time for it. It's beautiful.
Hiding from the kids by playing piano because they won't interrupt me there.
I don't know how Downey thinks volunteering is relaxing. It's more political than politics. But walking along the Grand Park Pathway is probably my...
All right, well, thank you for that. And this is the first this is the third event like this I've done, and the first time I've ever seen the speed questions, and I have to say it was quite a fun momentum. But you wanted one more question?
Just one
more. Oh, they're begging for one more. Okay, so Merrick, over to you for one last one.
Okay, you guys are gonna love this one. Brian, your campaign slogan. 10 seconds.
My slogan?
Yep.
The opportunity is coming at us.
Thank you. Right in.
I wish I had some more marketing training, but just young and energetic. Thanks.
My signs say putting Terrace first.
Building a sustainable community together.
A fresh voice for council.
Building for the future.
Working for your community.
Letting the people decide what's best for them.